seasons change, tree tops sway. I am young today. Children play sidewalk game as I dream away. The someday I'll float away over the sunrise. Leave this whole crazy world behind. So head straight for the stars somewhere on the way. I know I'll meet ya and carry on with your hand in mine. 'Cause you're the keeper of my heart.
On earth is natural. that silent night. God came down as a holy child. Mary was starting to feel the labor. The inn was full, so they went to the stable. Town was buzzing and full of life. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, baby, Jesus was meek and mild. The barnyard gang was going wild. The camel spitting, the donkeys kicking. The mother hen chasing baby chicken. Not a soul gonna sleep tonight. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Now go. Silent night, well, the angels sang so all could hear. The king is born, but do not fear. You'll find him in a manger low, but he'll grow up and save your soul. The trumpet blast shook the sky. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Glory, glory, what's it to you? God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Now
the shepherds came from far away to follow that star both night and day. They traveled up, they traveled down until they arrived at Bethlehem town. Praise the Lord, what a sight. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun.
Far and wide, just to stand by that baby's side. The glory stream from up above. He is life and he is love. The cows are restless, the baby's crying. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Oh, glory, glory, what's it to you?
Up in here. There's a baby born. Jesus, the Lord's son. Can't be quiet.
He cannot be quiet. You just can't do it. Neither can I, apparently, because here I am. Hi, this is Jerry. Carol's in chat. I saw her. She came in early, and I'm sure she's going to ask me a question next. And that's good. That's fine. But she's going to get an answer I think she doesn't expect. let me preface this. Busy day, busy week. I am going to try to get into this and get through it. He gave me a song request today that we have rarely played. But I can tell you that without a doubt, it's inspired. But unexpected. Let's just say it is a more direct way of saying we dismiss it all. How about that? How about if I put it that way? Dismiss it all. So anyway, we'll see how. I presume he's going to give me a time to play that. But anyway, here we are. I've been traveling. I got home, and I turned around and then had to go after something else. And then I got home and then the show was starting and all that. And so I don't think this is going to be very scatterbrained, but I may be at a slightly slower pace because I've got to catch up with the things that I do have here to share. In fact, darn, there's one thing. I don't know if I finished that or not. Yeah, I didn't get to finish that one thing. Anyway, I have a handful of things, and most of them, if not all of them, are actually kind of a catch-up deal a couple of days ago. Because I went through a list of things after on the 16th. There were so many things that did occur on the 16th on our date set that I couldn't remember them all. And I kind of knew I was skipping them. That's one of the reasons I was a little bit hesitating. I kept trying to remember more things. So I want to catch up on a few of those things. I do believe they're significant, important. They illustrate the apparent panic that's setting in the establishment. And the way God is, seriously, God is using the insurgency of Donald Trump into the politics to begin to force the hand of the world elites and to expose their hidden alliances, as we've already discussed a little bit. But they're freaking out. And let me make this really clear. When you have obtained favor, success, wealth, or even just security by surreptitious, secret, conniving means, two things happen. First of all, you get a little bit dead in the brain because you're kind of locked into the wind before you start. Secondly, you get used to an extremely high level of comfort and security, believing that you can control and achieve the result you desire. When you have those combination of things, and then all of a sudden something starts to happen that literally seems beyond your control and does not fit any model you have, any strategy you practice, because after all, you use the same strategies if this is, you know, if someone like this. These people use the same strategies over and over and over again. And quite frankly, these are the tools of the devil, and he uses the same strategies over and over and over again because he knows what the weaknesses of the flesh are, the weaknesses of our character. He knows the best ways, and he's not going to waste his time doing things that are less successful. When somebody comes along and the standard patterns and methods fail to work, panic does set in. And we are seeing that. Let me go back to right now if I can. Last night's show title page was, and by the way, it really was anointed last night. Carol sent out an email about that, and I did listen. And I don't think I heard every detail, but I heard a lot of it. You know, it was just wonderful to hear a lot of worship music. And let me tell you, that's a testimony to our faith and our conviction in what we're doing here. Just to gather and praise and worship. This is his show. We show him off. He shows us off. We show our obedience and love to him off, and it's wonderful to sometimes just rest in that peace. Oh, there's Mama Pat. And so that really was good. But what I had in the title box for the show last night was, is it time to get out our bear spray? That's a reference to Judy's Russian bear dream. And I said, we are hiking through March. And we are hiking through March. And March is a reference to war, the name of the month. And then he gave me the verse Ephesians 5:2, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's essentially an inspiration, an impartation for us. Believers, followers. But what I really wanted to go back to was 2 days ago, on the 16th. That was 2 days, right? One, two, yeah. And joking there a little bit. But the what I put in the title box of the show was in capital letters, desperation, and an exclamation point. More true political alliances revealed, including the Federal Reserve. Well, guess what? One of the things I forgot to mention was the headline. They're related to the Federal Reserve. So I want to get back to that. And a few of the other things that I have. I don't think I have any real order to this. The whole theme of this is the way on the very day that everyone knows what the Tuesday election results were in the primaries, there were so many things that came into the news that constituted a complete elitist freakout. And the reason this is relevant is because who is demonstrating it? We've had rap artists freak out about Trump. We had anonymous freak out about Trump. We've had George Soros, thousands of thuggish attitudes, you know, people disrupting Trump rallies. We've had even a false flag actor grab Trump apparently on the ankle and basically discontinue a rally. We've had lots of different things going on. And we also have had international policy has changed. On the very day after these election results solidified both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump as the strong, likely candidates for president in the primary that will come out of the primary process. And they are unloading everything they have. Now, this is another article I'm going to mention here from that day. Anti-Trump groups threaten largest civil disobedience action of the century. With little fanfare and almost no news media coverage attention, some of the same radical groups involved in shutting down Donald Trump's Chicago rally last week are plotting a mass civil disobedience movement to begin next month. So Donald Trump is so scary that the same tactics are being used against him as were segregation, as were abortion, as were the atrocity of the Vietnam War. This is how scary Donald Trump is to the elites. But mind you, this is a George Soros-funded group, and this one is publicly known to be so. Okay? So they are freaking out. Then another international headline, Kerry declares ISIS committing genocide against Christians than others, and others. Okay, now the United States created ISIS. I'm sure they are majority in control of most of these groups, and they are eliminating and bombing the ones that they can't control up until the ceasefire. Well, what does this mean? Well, it means that they're losing control, and it means that this is associated with the Russian pullout that was announced on the 14th. And basically a long-term stand-down of military action. Now, interestingly, there was a story today in the Russian media where they are being asked very pointed questions about Russian troops on the ground in combat in Syria, and that would be to this day. They declined to answer, meaning, of course, they do have them and they don't want to talk about it. And credit to them for not wanting to lie. But the Russian bear is on the ground in Syria, at ground troops and in military action, which they have not admitted, but it's clear. Okay, back to this story, ISIS. So Russia created a vacuum. Within 2 days, that vacuum was beginning to be filled by lots of different threats and actions. However, this one is very telling because when Kerry declares ISIS is committing genocide, after the Russians sort of have stood down. In other words, if he'd done this 3 days sooner, it could have given the Russians an excuse to attack their ISIS operatives. But But by waiting for that agreement, which may have been executed behind the scenes, now that Russia has stood down, now what we're having is the Western military and political arms trying to create a reason, a juxtaposition, a reason that the West would have to increase its military involvement and action in Syria. In other words, now that there's a successful ceasefire, they've kind of arranged the deck chairs on the ship. Now they want to have an excuse to yet again increase the amount of military equipment and personnel in this area. It looks like Russia is in agreement with this, but we will wait and see. So the point is, and in this statement, Kerry actually uses the term Daesh, which is a regional term that the West has never used for ISIS. So he's now using a Middle East acceptable term for Daesh. It is an insulting, from my understanding, it's an sort of an insulting way to refer to this group. And yeah, there's crimes against humanity, ethnic cleansing, absolutely Christian cleansing, so-called. And it's awful. But this is the person who's creating the problem offering the solution. The leadership of this nation and, in fact, the entire Western culture, governance, the world elites. And so this is the Hegelian dialect. This is this is one of their tried and true methods: create the problem and then offer the solution. Well, I suggest we don't buy their solution, but who's going to ask us? And if they do ask us, would they actually pay attention to our answer? And the answer is no and no. So another international policy event related day after Trump wins. Now, I also, the day after the election, with the 17th, I sort of took a screenshot of the Drudge Report. And here is the there's two things. Oh yeah, and that other. Here's the headline that goes around with that other article where I mentioned Soros was involved. I'll come back to the Fed. Soros activities, activists plot quote largest protests of the century. Now I just thought I'd point out. First of all, this is how they're trying to actually increase their own enthusiasm, and it does suggest a significant amount of desperation on their part. But just think about this. The largest protests of the century. Whoa, that's impressive. Oh, wait. The century is only 15 years old. Now, I believe most of the people participating in these protests are, while they're almost certainly paid or have very strong political associations, first and foremost, we can see that they are centurially challenged. Because quite frankly, if you were to say, we're going to put the largest protest in the last 15 years, but in this century, it sounds a lot more powerful than it really is. So we'll see what they come up with. So this is the kind of rhetoric they're using. You know, heaven help them. I think they're going to stroke out if Donald Trump keeps rising in the polls. I mean, if there's another poll comes out that shows him at 55% or something, I think these people are just going to stroke out. I mean, because they're pretty excited. They're really not happy. Excited in a bad way. Okay, now here's the Fed thing. This is the 17th. The Fed comes out and makes statements that are very contrary to the statements they have been making over the last year and even longer about their perspective on the economy and how they might handle their Fed interest rates. Now, remember, the Fed has been saying for quite a while that they are preparing to raise interest rates. Now, even the threat of it is considered a threat, a way to hold down what they call inflation. But the thing is that they're also, they basically, you can't, in Europe, they've gone to negative interest rates. I'm not going to get into the monetary policy, but essentially, when you get to zero, which they're almost at zero, your primary tool, both for making profits through the Fed machine and also for changing economic activity overall, are extremely reduced. So here are some comments out of this Drudge page. Yellen defends Fed as nonpartisan over campaign contributions. Well, I'm not going to read that because it's about politics. We know they're partisan towards the elite. They are the elite. Forward guidance, proving a tricky tool for the central banks. So in other words, what they're really saying is, we don't know what the heck's going to happen, and if we do, we're not telling it. Foreign governments dump USA debt at record rate. But the other thing the Fed announced, Janet Yellen, announced in her statement and questioning, was that they are no longer willing to forecast any kind of significant growth for the economy, which they have been persistently saying was going to occur. And they also announced, and this was probably the biggest announcement, was that they are not now contemplating any rate increases in what I'm just going to call the foreseeable future. I can tell you what the foreseeable future is. The foreseeable future is the first week of November in 2016, because that's when the election is. The reason they're changing their policy right now, right after it becomes clear that Trump is more popular than Hillary and that he is the likely Republican nominee, there is a dramatic threat to their stranglehold on the power structure. And one of the things that will help them is to keep the interest rates low, which are perceived to be a way to increase or not curtail anymore economic activity. So they have a major policy change shift announced the second day after the Tuesday primaries. And it is, oh, forget about us saying that we're going to raise rates. Just never mind that. We probably won't raise them for a while. And I can tell you that at a minimum, they will not raise them until after the election because, or they may sneak one in there the day before or something, but they're going to do everything they can to pour fuel on the economic fire to get them through, to get the Democratic Party through and the Democrat candidate through the election cycle, presuming it occurs. And this is why they will no longer threaten to raise interest rates, because they want as much economic activity as possible, which is already in decline. We're already in a defined recession. I get a kick. I see headlines from financial types saying, well, you know, we are 100% guaranteed to go into recession. The traditional definition of recession is three straight quarters of negative growth. We've had five, quarter being a three-month period. We've had five straight months or quarters. Or is it months? We've had five straight months. Okay. So we've had five straight months, so we haven't gone three quarters. But we basically, every sign indicates, even by government numbers, which are ridiculously inflated in the positive, we're in recession. In fact, we really never came out of recession from 2008. But they say so. But even by their jury-rigged numbers, we're in recession. Okay. So, and then there was another thing that came out. This was an interesting little factoid that isn't. It probably was released as a result of Trump's success, but it is an indirect result. Nevertheless, it was released that John Kasich has the Republican candidate who won the Ohio primary has received hundreds of thousands of dollars from George Soros-funded groups. Now, George Soros is the poster child of the elites who are in the New World Order. He has the money, he's involved in the money, the strategy, and the activism. So anything connected with him, you cannot get more, well, really treacherous or elite than George Soros. So those things are all things that were related, came out as a result of, or timed very closely with, and remember, we talked the other day about how the very word coincidence is oxymoronic in false logic, that you cannot say something's not related when in order to point it out, you have to acknowledge the relationship. Now, we may not understand relationships always and everything that's behind them, but you can't say that two things that happen at the same time and seem to relate to the same field of society are unrelated. You know, if you call that a coincidence, then you're simply using improper logic. And so these things are not, the word coincidence is not to be applied. And we can see that these things are, well, an astounding number of things associated with this event. Let me see here. I want to check and make sure I have. Oh yeah, and Obama has now announced a new strategy for Middle East peace. Why is he doing it now? Because there's at least a theoretical chance that there will not be a Democratic candidate to carry the water on this strategy that they have in the Middle East. So now he's starting to use the UN to hammer Israel over the head to make them capitulate and do some kind of a peace deal with the Palestinians, who are, by the way, as I mentioned the other day, that term Palestinian was originally applied to residents of the land around Israel, Lebanon, and the very word was applied not to Arabs or indigenous people. The entire term, ironically, laughably, because of the lies associated with the Arab population and this whole Palestinian red herring. The term Palestinian was first used to designate people who were in the Holy Land, but not from it. It was used originally to describe Greeks. Greeks. So, Obama announced a plan to, his White House did, to use the UN to leverage Israel to make more capitulations to the Palestinians. So there is a list of many things that are coming out and coming to light as a result. Of Trump's success. And the farther this goes, the more clearly you can see. And quite frankly, I can see a lot of Christians beginning to say, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't have spoken against Trump quite so soon. Something's really happening here. People are beginning to see the power in it. Now, I'm not projecting anything forward at the moment. Mostly what I'm doing is pointing out that God is using him, just like he told me. God is using him for his purpose. And his purpose, clearly, is to ruffle the feathers of the elites. There is Faith in chat. Hi, Faith. And so this is a very significant phenomenon. Wherever it leads, you can see God's hand on it by how it is stirring the pot, and truth is coming out, because we have all these groups that are supposed to be protest groups. Move On is part of this. Move On, Anonymous, and the Occupy movement too. They've all come out within a week, this last week, you know, denouncing every aspect of Trump, and announcing they're going to go straight after Trump. Okay, because, you know, after all, you know, Trump is far scarier than, Boko Haram and slaughtering hundreds or thousands of people in Africa. He's got to be worse than, he's got to be worse than genocide, self-declared genocide by John Kerry in Syria. He's got to be worse than that, right? You know, why don't they protest against any of that? Because they're useless and they're part of the elite system. And, oh, by the way, the world chaos is part of the elite system, too. So we've discussed that, but I'm just sort of pointing out that these things are all just stuff is so everywhere. Carol says Soros is extremely evil. Yeah, very much so. And by the way, I've mentioned this before, but his name, I traced the meaning of his name back through the original language, and it means coffin. George Soros' name, which, by the way, is a palindrome, S-O-R-O-S, somewhat interesting too. But anyway, his name Soros is rooted in the meaning of the word for coffin in his home language. And so God, this is absolutely prophecy being fulfilled, because we see truth being revealed. These hidden alliances, these hidden plans are being revealed, and God is stirring up the pot, among other ways, through Donald Trump. And this is exactly what God told us in the end times would occur, that these secret alliances, these secret plans, these people who do evil. And even in Jeremiah 11, we learned that some of these people literally want to destroy and kill. That's it. Carol goes, George Coffin. That's it. That's exactly it. And these people, they're losing it and so on. I mean, they're really starting to freak out. Now, let me get to the title page of tonight's show. First of all, praise him and just praise him. You know, I wish that I could stay on the surface and the positive, both joy and assurance that I have of where we are all at in him, where I'm at in him. But the truth is, I can't. He's asking me, I've got a lot going on around me in the practical, as well as, other interpersonal challenges, plus just where he has us. This has been a long, long road. It has been hard. And on there are certain days, then, I run out of me, right? I have more day than I have me, and especially composure. And so on the surface, I get rubbed very thin sometimes. And we have been tested, especially in our emotions and our spirit, in the extreme. And we also have been dealing with lots of circumstances around us, and not only us personally, but also our loved ones, our friends, compatriots. This has been a time definitely of trial and testing. Exactly how long it goes, I do not know. We all know that this is, even yet again, very large amounts of testing and trial. I also see some positive threshold crossing going on. I was on the phone with Judy for just a few minutes before the show started, and she had something happen while I was on the show that was, I don't know if she wants to talk about it or not, but it was just a random exchange. It wasn't necessarily on the surface of it pleasant, but she just said, let's just say there was something she'd been wanting to do, and she finally did it. And it's not something she's going to make a habit of, but there was a theme of release in this, I believe. And I think she's had actually a couple of things like that today. And I heard some very good news for some people close to me. It's very encouraging. We've had Mama Pat, who I'll open her up here in a minute. But Geralyn is, you know, however things work out for her, it's frankly amazing that she's even back in a rehab facility and how lucid she was when she was able to go back to her regular room and stuff. So there's been a lot of positives, and there's negatives and positives, and quite frankly, you know, I used the term bletched a long time ago, and if we were bletched then, which is blessed and stretched then 2 years ago, we are super bletched now. We are super stretched, and we are super blessed. And it is a privilege to go through these things for God. But we don't always understand them, and we don't always know what's going on. So anyway, praise Him. And I was just barely a little bit late, but here we are with the show. I was given two scriptures today, or at least one set of scriptures and one other single scripture. And they first was Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. The Lord then said to me, and this is Moses writing, "You've been traveling around this hill country long enough. Turn north." This is during the Exodus. "Command the people you are about to travel through the territory of your brothers, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir." Now, the return of God is described in a couple places as in Scripture as Him sweeping over Mount Seir. "So the descendants of Esau who live in Seir, they will be afraid of you, so you must be very careful. Don't fight with them, for I will not give you any of their land, not even an inch of it, because I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his possession. You may purchase food from them with silver, so that you may eat, and buy water from them to drink with silver." Silver is, we esteem things in many times in gold, but in those days, in the days of Moses, silver was considered more valuable than gold. It was more precious and less available. So silver is the finest material that you can use as exchange or collateral or money. And so with silver, the finest thing, they would buy their food and their water to drink. So they would sustain themselves with the finest thing. There were ram's horns that were shofars that were blown and are blown in Jewish ritual and in Hebrews and the Leviticus commands. But there are also metal trumpets. And those metal trumpets were silver. And then the second verse is Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love." It says it all. And of course, we work through the love and the relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. So, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything." It's not about works. It's not about outward appearances. It's about faith and love and our relationship with Him. So not necessarily connected. He gave me some scriptures the other day, a few days ago, and I wasn't sure why He gave them to me. Before the day was over, I understood they weren't related to each other, but I understood the reason each one had been given to me. Through different means. And I have not explained the one about Samuel yet, because that relates to sort of a research topic that I have I'm not ready to go into. But it's quite the thing. So let me open up Mama Pat, and Judy's called in too. Hi, how are you, Pat?
Okay. Gerald thought she might want to come home Saturday or Monday, but she still has to breathe at night with the oxygen. I didn't know that. And she's working to be stronger, but she needs more time, so maybe in a week. But she's good with it, so I just have to go with that. Yeah, and Stephen has a drip at home he has to do throughout the day. He's okay. It's for the Lyme disease that he has, as well as the multiple sclerosis. So my daughter is,
wow.
she's a, she's she's taking it very well. She's working still, and she's taking care of him. And the work that he does, his parents are providing the income that he had, so they don't have to worry about anything. So it's good. Everyone's trying to stay positive. And name of the game, you know. You were right about. I'm glad you talked about how we're all going through stuff. Because that is so true. And we just have to encourage each other and be there for each other and try to help each other and pray with each other. That's all we can do. Yeah. Listen, I have to. I'm going to go on mute for a few minutes. I have another call coming in. I'll be right back. Okay? Bye-bye.
Okay. And let me. I'm going to open up Judy. I don't know if she wants to say anything or not. She might be muted. But hi, Judy. I have a song for you, Judy. I have a song to play for you. I had a request.
Oh.
I had a request from our pastor, and I think it fits in the category of reassurance in your direction. I'll play it. He's saying now it's a good time, so we'll do that. And we haven't played this for a while.
Cool.
Anyway, here's to quiet conversation. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Fuck it up. Fuck it up. Don't give a shit anymore. Fuck it up. Fuck it up. Flip the table, screw you all. I don't take the bullshit anymore. I don't give a fuck. My grades never bothered me anyway.
So, special request.
Thank you. That was perfect. I love that. That was so perfect.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's kind of, actually, that pretty much is. I wanted to look around a little bit, so I'm going to do that. In fact, maybe what I should do, let me play a song. Judy, do you have anything you'd like to hear?
Not especially.
Okay.
I like all the stuff we have.
Okay. Let me see. I'll scroll down a little bit. Oh, well, I haven't heard this
okay,
one for
I'm back.
A while.
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Pat. I'm going to play a song and see if I can pull a couple things together, and I'll be back.
Yeah, good.
When life leaves you high and dry, I'll be at your door tonight if you need help. If you need help, I'll shut down the city lights. I'll lie, cheat, I'll beg and bribe to make you well, to make you well. When enemies are at your door, I'll carry you away from war. If you need help, if you need help, your hope dangling by a string, I'll share in your suffering to make you well, to make you well. Give me reasons to believe. And I will do it for you.
For you, baby, I'm not moving on. I love you long after you're gone. For you, after you're gone, gone, gone. You're my backbone, you're my cornerstone. You're my crutch when my legs stop moving. You're my head start, you're my rugged heart. You're the pulse that I've always needed. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, baby, don't stop beating. Like a drum, my heart never stops beating for you. Baby, I'm not moving on. I'll love you long after you're gone. You're gone, gone, gone. I'll love you long after you're gone, gone, gone.
So there was another thing that's going on out there today I wanted to mention, and that is there is a comet out there, and if you go to spaceweather.com, you can see this. I think this particular... Well, this story, anyway, this link is a different source, but it's the same info. There's a comet, so I can find it, and it is actually, if you're in the southern hemisphere, you can see it with your, just with your eyes. Somebody took a picture of it with a camera, a regular camera. The first member of the pair, there's actually a small piece that they've just realized is following this bigger one. It's known as Comet 252P Linear. And the thing that's notable about it right now is that it's gotten brighter than they expect it to get at this point in its past. It looks like it is going to become visible to the naked eye. It is in the southern hemisphere. And it is going to be at its closest point to Earth on the 21st of March. And this, I look at the comets, one of the things that hasn't been discussed very much is, while there is more searching going on, so by definition we're seeing more of these things, but at the same time, there's, in the last year or two, there have been really a lot of comets within the solar system that have been identified, seen, and pictured, way more than I think at any time ever. And a comet is a proverbial sign in the sky because it is this object that can radiate an amount of light and a gassy cloud and even have a debris trail far larger than any single rock or asteroid, and even bigger than planets sometimes by quite a bit, the gas cloud or the glow around them. And so comets really are, I think, one of the strongest signs in the heavens that are available to us, and we're told to look for those, and that they are there will be signs in the sun, the moon, stars, and so on. And so this is one of the signs in the stars, and this is getting fairly close. For a comet, this is the closest recorded pass since the days they've measured or, in fact, modeled, because they can model these things. The old comets, they know the trajectories, and they can model them. This comet is making the fifth closest pass on the 21st of March to any comet that they have information on. In all history that they can record information, this is the fifth closest pass of a comet to planet Earth. It's about 5.4 million miles. In space, that isn't much. And actually,
That must have been kilometers, because I see down here roughly 3 million miles. That's about 10 times farther than the moon. But the cloud and debris surrounding it, the gas cloud and the debris surrounding a comet, is very, very large. And they're saying this thing is going to be close enough that it's quite possible there will be a visible meteor shower in the debris trail, and that the gas cloud could also interface with our orbit. So this passing of this comet on this day in the month of March, when we're already on, really have had our attention drawn to this month in so many ways. We're between the watch days of the 16th and the 23rd. There's some other things that make things interesting even for the next few days. But throughout March, if we're here, I'm going to keep an eye on all these things. You know, do so, you know, at your own leading. But this comet, this 252P Linear, is an interesting one. It's getting relatively very close to the Earth, and it will affect things on Earth via meteor shower and perhaps the gas cloud interacting with our atmosphere. So that is interesting, and the closest approach to Earth is, now it's not one just one day, of course, where you have an object this big with a debris trail and so on, but it is Cheryl goes, can we safely say we leave March 21st? Hope so. Yeah, well, we can safely say that I would prefer to leave no later than that. I can tell you that. But we've been here a long time relative to how long we thought we would be here. And it's really, really... I know it's God's work. I just don't completely understand how he does his work. And we'll have to see how he chooses to handle how things play out. But there is no mistaking the nature of the end times and the things we're seeing pour out just everywhere you look. It's just incredible. I'm looking around here. I want to check a couple things. Let's see. I think there were a couple of other headlines that I...
California.
What about California?
There's a terrible, strong gas smell coming from off the coast. I don't know what it is.
Yes. I saw that story on Dutch Sense. I went and checked that back.
Yeah, I got
back.
It on now.
I looked up the wind patterns at the time that this was being reported, and they were coming straight off of an area where there was a very shallow earthquake under the water just offshore.
Uh-oh.
And so it was a very localized area that those smells were being reported. And when they say gas smells, you're basically talking about a volcanic type gas. You know, people say methane because, you know, methane has been in the news in L.A., but what they're smelling is a volcanic gas, and it looks like it was released from the same location, which appears to possibly be underwater and volcanic. But nevertheless, there was an earthquake along a fault line that was only 2 miles deep, directly in line with the wind flow towards the area on that day there was an earthquake. So there's definitely some interesting activity there. Let's see. Here's a great headline. It's not. Evangelicals accuse fellow believers of abandoning the faith to support Trump. Now, let's just lay this on the line.
who has spiritual discernment in this group? One group of people does, and the other does not. Okay? This is either a good choice or a bad choice from God's point of view. People who self-describe as evangelicals are attacking other people in the faith for supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Examine yourselves. Mm-hmm. Are you self-interest? Mm-hmm. Are you using the knowledge and the means and the thinking of men? Or are you following a spiritual leading, and have you checked it with God? Or
right.
are you simply just making a decision based on your... one of you is wrong, okay? One of you is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Work it out.
Yeah.
Jewish groups
Mike,
to protest
I'm feeling
Trump
he's going
to
get
APEC.
Us into a lot of trouble.
What's that now?
I said, my gut feeling is that if he wins, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well,
because he's headstrong. He's too headstrong.
Well, here's what I say. We're in a lot of trouble now in the natural.
Yeah, right.
We're already in a lot of trouble. Okay?
Thank you.
We're already in a lot of trouble. Okay. Little Donnie Trump's ability personally to make things worse is minimal. Just saying. In the natural, we are neck deep. Okay, we are neck deep. We are neck deep, and we're standing under the source. We are neck deep, and we're under the source. No doubt about it.
Oh, Lord, get here soon. I mean, like, really soon.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus, how do you stand all the madness? I don't know. We're holding on, Lord. And it ain't easy.
No.
I don't know how God is holding on. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, well,
that's terrible.
God's holding up fine.
That's
he's totally
good.
In
that's
control.
True. That's true. That's
he's totally
true.
In control.
We're
he's not,
up to our neck.
He's got no issues. Look, this was all covered, bought, and paid for 2,000 years ago.
I know.
And we are on the downslope of the last hill.
Oh, dear God.
It's just how it is. He's doing fine.
God have mercy.
And you know what? And he's working right in front of our eyes. And,
of course.
And he's doing it. He's doing it in a way that. just try to enjoy the ride. But it's a little weird.
Oh Jesus!
That's
I'm
scary.
Sorry. I don't mean to laugh. If you don't laugh, you're just gonna crack up. I swear.
That's right.
Oh really? He's got it. He's got it, and we have to really realize that he's got it. He's got us. So don't be crazy.
Yep.
Too crazy. Oh my goodness. Oh, anyway, right.
So that's. I gotta get myself back.
Oh
here.
My goodness.
So these are things that are. I'm having to go back through some dated stuff because I think there might be one or two. I don't know. So just because I'm on this theme. By the way, I just read that headline about some Jewish groups protesting Trump. There are some acerbically, acidically liberal and establishment elitist oriented Jewish groups.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I forget what the name of it, but they're one of the more often mentioned ones. It's like the American... Anyway, they present themselves as the defender of all things Jewish. But their positions are very frequently, obviously, against the interests of Israel. It's really sad how they are. But anyway, I think that's what I've got on that. I'm just going to let it stand. I think we get the point that the establishment's freaking out. They are losing. In fact, there was a headline yesterday, or for today, the Washington Post. I noticed it last night on Drudge, but the Washington Post had a headline. It was actually encouraging, addressed the establishment, quote unquote, do something. And this is how frustrated and helpless these people are feeling. And why are they feeling so frustrated and so helpless? Because most of the time they have everything totally in the bag, completely in the bag. All the Republicans, all the Democrats, all the possibilities, all the media, all the discussion. They're so used to having everything in the bag that, quite frankly, they are feeble and weak when they are presented with a true challenge. And they don't know what to do. And they're scared. Okay? They're scared. They're very scared. And they're scared for their livelihood. They're scared for everything because this is a very rickety secret affiliation of favor that is stretched thin and is struggling with being exposed. And it is being increasingly exposed every day by God's hand through very many people. Okay, we're about at the end of our hour and a half live time. I think I'm going to go ahead and close it out. Judy or Pat, do you have anything that you wanted to add?
I just sent you something on the new Bible code thing. The new number for God is 182. I have no idea what it is, so you can read it. And there's some new thing on Trump. I just sent that they're uncovering, so that might be interesting.
Have anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna.
Love you guys.
We're gonna just
love you.
Are you tired, honey?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Judy.
Yeah,
you sound tired, sweetie.
Thanks, Judy. Yeah. Yeah.
Love you guys.
Well, we're gonna pray.
Love you.
And let's see. Maybe we'll poof today.
It's time.
Okay, anyway,
Lord.
Love you all, and see you in the air.
Okay, love you all. Okay.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want.